Bad horse,
he's bad.
He rides
across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin.
He
got the application that you just sent in.
Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. I'm your host John, and with me is apparently a jellyfish.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm just dancing to our theme tune. You know, it's fantastic. With what? A weird book in my hand. But yes, hello, I'm Adam. It's great to have you here with us in this glorious recording. We have just finished up a fantastic gaming marathon, and by marathon I mean three games of absolute torturous hell. But yes, indeed, we have we've started and everything is glorious. But John, before we begin, how have you been this week?
I've been all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a crazy week at work. If you don't know, I actually work for a secret government foundation that mm-hmm. is trying to cure the zombie virus before it takes off.
Yep.
And we failed, basically, so batten down the hatches. If you can hear people banging at the doors, that means...
You shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Actually, don't do that. Always ask questions first.
No, yeah, sorry. community announcement. Please don't shoot anyone. There's no real
Indeed.
Zombies, or at least that's what the government wants you to think, etc.
Okay, tin foil
a
hat.
Weird start.
Yeah, but weird is what we do. Yes. Well, my week's been pretty average. And just average isn't good. I like average. It's quiet. It's chill.
Yeah.
It's what I like. The stuff with gaming, because, you know, I'm a gamer and you're just someone who does stuff. I mean, what a nerd.
It's quite hurtful, actually.
Yeah, I can tell. Oh my god, you're sick. Get away from me. Oh, I didn't know this. Yuck.
So, I am trying to infect Adam with a virus.
Evidently. You're just coughing all over my bloody laptop, peasant. Yeah, number one. Oh, goodness. All right. Sound effect.
Oh, wow.
So, as I did just say, we had a bit of a gaming marathon first. We were streaming it on Twitch, and basically, John was teaching... Well, sorry, I was teaching John how to play Heroes of the Storm, a MOBA of fantastic gloriousness.
What does MOBA stand for?
That's a good question, actually. I have no idea. I'm going to find that out.
Get your facts straight before we start recording. I have done a million tons of research for this episode...
I see.
Spanning back to 2 weeks ago when we did our last one.
Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Fun. Anyway, so we're playing Heroes of the Storm, and there's one thing I can say with absolute assurance, assurity, and that is, John, you're rubbish.
Oh, come on. I'm pretty good.
I mean,
decent.
We did play, like, ages ago. Like, I'm talking years ago. And you played maybe two games then. You did the tutorial and got everything set up.
Yeah.
But then, you hadn't played since.
Yeah, okay, so I've been a bit busy.
2 years.
It's, like, I got married. Mm-hmm.
That takes, like,
I've been editing this podcast.
That actually, yeah, all right, that does take about, you know, 4 days out of your week.
Yes, and doing useful stuff, contributing to society, All right, I have no excuse, it sounds. I should have been playing, and for that I apologize.
Forgive me.
But I'm back in the game now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like mostly everything came back to me. Like,
it did. After two games, I will say.
Okay.
Did we play three or four games? I can't remember.
Three.
Three, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, the first one... Oh, I can't remember what the first one
we won, but it was super easy.
Well, we won all three.
Oh, yes, true. The second one was, like, really bad, really...
Well, we had... Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Heroes of the Storm is free to play. So you can jump on and play at any time you like. Just download the game from Battle.net and Battle.net. Sorry, Battle.net. Sorry, Battle.net.com.
I wonder what Battle.net
comes. I don't know, but I don't like the idea of sending our glorious listeners to some website where something terrible is going to wait for them. And...
Oh, they do own that as well, though.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay, cool. So, Battle.net.com, anyways. Download Heroes of the Storm, and you can play. In fact, jump on, message us your battle tag, and you can play with us in our stream that we'll do probably before we record episodes. Anyway, you have a couple of roles, specialist, support, warrior, and assassin.
Sorry to interrupt, please. But battle.net is the correct one. Battle.com is going to scam you into thinking it's the Apple website. So don't go to battlenet.com. Go to battle.net.
Refraction. I'm double checking
Adam
this.
Adam doesn't believe me, but
oh my goodness, wow.
Yeah, it's the other way around.
Battle.net. Sorry, battle.net. That's...
Yeah.
I did not... Wow, okay, yeah, really anyway, don't do that, folks. It's battle.net. I'm really surprised Blizzard did not get that.
Oh, well. Anyway, continue with your description. Now they know the safe website to go to.
Yes. So, battle.net is the actual name. Anyway, so in Heroes of the Storm, you've got a specialist, which is kind of like a hero that will push into different lanes, being able to gather these other camps around, which will help you push into the lane. You have assassins, which are good at killing folk. You have support, which are good at healing heroes. And then you have warriors, which are real good at getting into the thick of things, and they've got a higher health pool. So the goal of a MOBA is to push through the map and attack the enemy's core. And the thing that kind of separates Heroes of the Storm from other MOBAs such as Dota, League of Legends, etc., is that each of the maps have a different objective. So the ones we played, one of the ones was Dragonshire. And good old John here, when he wasn't tweeting in the middle of a game or anything like that.
I'm trying to manage our social media, okay?
Yeah, true. But, you know, in the middle of a fight, you don't go, oh, yeah, let me just tweet that we're doing this and leave everything up to good old me here. Oh.
Look, let's just say I trusted that you would be able to handle everything
Your trust
yourself.
Was misplaced.
Okay.
Yes, so Dragon Knight, basically you have to control both the shrines and then channel and capture the Dragon Knight. And then you just lay waste to every structure in your path. Two of those times, John was able to get hold of those and actually did okay. Wasn't terrible.
I like the Dragon Knight bit because all of a sudden you don't have to be worrying about... Well, I mean, you do have to worry about your health a little bit, but you just suddenly become this overpowered dragon and can destroy basically every one of their turrets, and it's a nice feeling.
It is. It was pleasant indeed. So we're going to continue playing and going to keep teaching John. He's only played Rayna thus far entirely.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you want to join in with us, you just let us know, and it will be glorious.
And if you want to watch these antics, we'll probably stream most of the games on twitch.tv.
Mm-hmm.
So check us out there.
And we'll be happy to take any questions that you field or suggestions such as get good or good, as I've seen quite a bit. But hey.
I'll try.
We've all got to start somewhere.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And you're just starting, and it's fine. Rayna, and the cool thing about Rayna is recently being buffed to high heavens, so it's quite lucky as well. I think what you need to focus on is your auto-attacking stuff, because you keep moving and clicking other things.
The other thing I forgot, I think you never do this because you probably are used to the game, but there is, if you press A to attack and then you click it, I think I need to start doing that more because I keep misclicking and walk towards the enemy instead of attacking them. And that
you've got
to
be in range.
Stop
it,
attacking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you press A, you can't misclick. It'll do nothing if you can't attack. Anyway, it's probably more relevant for me because I keep misclicking. Someone will move suddenly out of the way. Maybe it's because I'm streaming and the frame rate is hit a bit. Anyway,
maybe. But you did well. You did well enough. The last game, you made very few mistakes. So it was okay. It was just in the previous two, stopping to tweet. And
admittedly, when we got to the higher difficulty levels, all of a sudden I was like, all right, I'll take it seriously now.
Yeah, that was interesting. So yeah, did good. So Heroes of the Storm, check it out, folks. Free to play, it's fantastic. Tell Blizzard that the Nerds Way sent you.
Indeed.
And it'll be glorious. And if you don't like it, then it obviously means that you have no soul. That's okay. You can be one of the black-eyed children. To clarify, black-eyed children are a mythos. They're also called Beck, B-E-K. Really creepy thing. Wasn't going to be a topic of conversation, but I have to clarify.
What is this? I thought it was like a weird thing, like you were a person that got hit in the face.
No, that's getting a black eye.
Yeah.
A black-eyed child is an actual, like their eyes themselves are black. So there's all over Reddit and things like that, the stories of the encounters.
Oh, no, not this scary thing that's going to terrify.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No.
So what happens is, I can't wait. There's a topic of conversation in the Dresden Files. In the latest series of books, in the latest book is, what's it called? Briefcases, I think. It's basically a bunch of short stories. And one of the last ones is, it talks about Black Eyed Children. And I don't want to spoil the whole series, so we'll get on with that later. Anyway, so Black Eyed Children. It's either a child or a group of children that will come to your house or near you and ask for an invitation to your house or ask you to take them somewhere. And you have this real uneasy sense, a sense of unease. And they get really insistent to come inside, to use a phone, to use a bathroom. Someone's been hurt. Can we please come inside? Things like that. Except when they come inside, if you're invited, either of differing reports, either you awaken and you have no memory of what took place, or they attack you and do all sorts of horrible things. So there's a whole bunch of interesting things. Black Eyed Children, if you ever have one knock on your door, beware. So,
I work 5 days a week during the day on work days, etc., etc. Like the boring 9-to-5 schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
On days when I'm sick, I stay home, and there's this surprisingly large number of people just knocking on the door. And you think, okay, what is it, like deliveries or... And I've... Like, each time it's, like, different. One time, it was a bunch of old people walking really slowly. I'm not sure if they were collecting money for something, but I was sick. I did not want to open the door for anyone. And we have a little peephole. One time I looked out, there was just someone with a white van. No, a white ute. And... They walked up, rang the doorbell, and I'm like, what? Who is this? And then when I didn't answer, they drove away. Why did they come to my house? It's not like a door-knocking thing. They drove there.
Dude, I don't know what... That is creepy, because if I'm ever... Like, I'm home during the day all the time, because I sleep.
Yeah.
But I never have people knock on my door. And then again, I do have that aura of, you know, repulsion and stay away from me. But still... That's great. There's one interesting story. This is actually quite funny.
Okay.
When I used to work down on the mine site, I used to read a lot of these type of these horror stories, right? Like black-eyed pigs, black-eyed children and things like that.
That's a horror story right there.
Anyway, so I would read these. But anyway, went home one day on my break, and a group of kids knocked on my door. And it was daytime. And... Like, I walk out, and I'm just like, and they're just like, oh, can we use your phone, please? You know, we need to call someone's mother to come pick us up. And I'm very suspicious of them, and they know it, because, you know, I had a beard at this stage as well, and I'm, you know, a grumpy, grumpy old guy. And, yeah, so I'm just like, look at me. Show me your eyes. And they looked... But no, they were fine. They probably thought it was super weird. They're just like, what? And I was like, yeah, all right, here you go. Here's the phone.
Okay.
It was quite interesting. It was funny.
I was going to ask that. What was the creepiest experience of someone coming to your door that you've ever had? Would you say that's probably up there? Almost unusual.
I'd say that maybe. Yeah. I mean, like I said, not a lot of people come knocking on my door.
Mm. Okay, so for me, it would be when I was living with my parents.
Yeah.
It must have been a lot of years ago now. But basically, someone came knocking at the door and their hand was just bleeding everywhere. And they were like, it's like, I'm one of the neighbors. I'm just trying to get into my house, but I locked the keys out. And immediately, you're suspicious because it's like, are they just trying to break in? What's going on?
Hmm.
But in the end, we did help them out, and like we gave them a towel to help. So they must have cut their hand while trying to climb a fence, I can't even remember. Maybe they smashed a window to try and get into their own house. I don't know. They must have gotten desperate. But
yeah.
In the end, I'm pretty sure we didn't aid and abet someone to break in, but...
You never know.
You never know with these things.
You never know.
Perhaps they've stolen that person's identity, and even if we went back to check, all the documents would say that they'd always lived there.
Could be. And then you're in trouble. So, that's an interesting thought. I like that. The creepy things. If nobody's sending us creepy stories, we'll have to come up with our own.
Yes. I must admit, I'd love to... I've never seen the Disturbia movie with Shia LaBeouf.
No. Oh, is that the... Yes, I think
where
I have seen that.
Alone at home alone. I reckon that is the creepiest situation.
That was a good movie.
Like, even during the day and stuff, like, if you could see people, like, I'm trying to remember this time I was sick where I just kept on having different people come to the door and I was getting really uneasy. I was already feverish and...
I have no
idea. Actually, it was made worse because I just watched the Watchmen movie wherein they would hunt down superheroes and they'd just, like, knock at the door and they wouldn't... You'd obviously not answer and then they'd break in, et cetera, fight, kill the... superheroes. So I was just watching that. So my paranoia level was high. I was sick, so I was feverish. People get knocking, and you're like, I had all the door curtains closed because I didn't want the house to get too hot. I think it was summer back then. And yeah, so you're looking through the curtains, you're like seeing people walk past your door. You've got the little fish eye. You can't really tell what you're seeing out there, really. Like, this is horror movie material. So I would love to make a creepy horror movie where this is the premise.
Speaking of short horror films...
Okay.
There, when we next live stream an episode, we've got this idea that we're going to watch a couple of short horror films on YouTube so that way you can watch our reactions as well.
Oh, boy. I'm going to be terrified.
It's actually quite fun. Oh, my goodness. You know what? We're going to watch some after the stream, after this episode.
Okay.
Yep. I'm watching. I've pulled one up now and it looks creepy. Like, the cool thing about short horror films is you have to be creative.
Yeah, and you have to have a good story that hooks people in and then leaves them with something memorable.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I've seen a short horror film that is literally like 3 minutes long.
Oh my gosh.
There's even one that's shorter than that.
Oh gosh, I've got one to show you as well that is like barely even 1 minute long.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. Like, the stuff that these people can do, like, I applaud their creativity. And, like, the amount of suspense that it builds up as well is... it's brilliant. I have the greatest respect for the people that have done this. Yeah, so we're definitely going to watch them. Definitely. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I'm watching some now, and it's just so good.
All right, well... maybe if we get some good recording out of that, we'll tag it at the end of the episode.
Yep, sounds good.
But we better move on.
All right.
Before we creep out our audience too much. So a while back, we did the Game of Thrones house quiz. What house are
you
in?
That was a bust.
What family or what clan do you come from, basically, if you haven't watched the show? Both of us came up with House Targaryen. And if you've never watched the show, basically, that is not a description of either of us.
It might be me, like, tyrannical ruler, if you will. Like, I will
stand...
Yeah,
I can see a little bit of that.
But you are definitely no Targaryen.
Yeah. So, I have found a new quiz, and I've completed it already, so I know this one's legit. It doesn't just tell everyone they're Targaryens. So, I've got my result, and I'll share it with you once we figure out what your house is.
Okay, ask me these questions, John. I am prepared.
Okay.
The answer is no. 14, 64, Lion Shield, Oathbreaker, The End of Times.
Okay, you come from House Gallifrey?
Oh my goodness. Yay. I'm a Time Lord.
So you're called to lead a regiment of your house's army. What do you do? Do you answer the call with pride?
Yes.
And serve your house?
That's what I do.
Okay. But do you want to hear
the
rest?
Nope, don't need it. That's what I do. If I'm bound... For instance, if the Queen Windsor called Bannerman to her aid, Queen Elizabeth II, if she's like, I call all of my subjects to battle, I'm there. Because okay. I am her subject. Glory to the Queen. All of you should be standing right now. Okay.
I actually believe that. But just for the sake of completeness, I will tell you. Get there as quick as you can, because you love war.
No.
Use your intelligence to negotiate your way out of fighting.
Dishonorable.
Ignore the summons and sit tight in your stronghold.
Unbelievable. Traitor.
Okay, cool. So we'll go with sit tight in your stronghold. No, just kidding.
Oh, I'm going to cut you.
You're getting married. You don't get a say in this. Congratulations. What kind of service will you have? A holy wedding ceremony according to my house's customs. I respect the gods. I'll do the service to make my people happy, but it means nothing to me. Service, don't make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it.
Well, to two options.
Three options. Sorry, so either you just do it as everyone always does it, how your house does it, mm-hmm. if you respect the gods, or you do it just to make the people happy, but it means nothing to you, or service don't make me laugh, so you don't do it at all.
Oh, I thought the service make you laugh thing was like a jab at me. Oh, okay. The first, thank you.
Oh, okay. You respect the customs.
I do.
You catch one of your people stealing. What do you do? Do you forgive them? They were just hungry? Do you punish them, but then use their skills on your behalf? Do you imprison them?
True.
Because your house takes a stance on crime?
Mm-hmm.
Or kill them because they deserve it?
True.
So punish them, but then use their skills.
What was the third one?
Imprison them.
Because, I'd do that.
Because your house takes a strong stance?
Well, yeah, because they broke the law.
Okay.
Wouldn't be long imprisonment. Like, I don't know. Like, well, and besides, if they're hungry, if they're imprisoned, they're also getting fed then.
Okay, it doesn't allow me to clarify that.
I know, that's true.
Your enemy suggests an alliance. How do you react?
Suspiciously.
Forgive all past transgressions and decide to be friends, yay. Use diplomacy to orchestrate an alliance that works for the best of you. Accept, but keep an eye on them. It's probably a trap. Accept, then kill them when they least suspect it. Idiot.
Three.
So, accept, but keep an eye on them. Yep. It's probably a trap. Someone in a position of authority punishes you for something you didn't do. How do you react?
Hmm.
You take the flak for whoever did it. I can take it. Protest, but to no avail. I work out who actually did it and then dob them in. I'll keep quiet for now and get my revenge later.
What was the first one?
Take the flak for whoever did it.
Yeah, I'll take the flak.
All right.
CBF.
Your friends put themselves in a mortal danger
mm-hmm.
to protect you. You thank your stars and run away. Join the fight knowing you may all die, or acknowledge that they're doing it for the greater good and escape.
To battle? Hell no. We all die together in battle. If there is some type of horrible odds and somebody dives in next to me, then I fight side to side and back to back with that person, and we die with honor.
So join the fight knowing you may all die.
Yep.
Some of these answers were quite similar or the same. Some were kind of opposite. Your rich family loses all its wealth and is forced to pay... No, because it's forced to pay reparations.
Oh.
You decide never to show your face until your family gets its money back. Freak out and smash things up. You start raiding towns. Carry on as normal, hoping no one will notice your diminished fortunes, or accept the ever-changing nature of fate and make do. So basically, hide in shame until it fixes up. Rage.
No,
just
go to the last
carry
one.
On. Or
I'd just be like, this is life. We have to continue on with that. And then I'll scheme and plot later on.
Education means everything to me. Is for the rich. Is pointless and you can just mug people for a living. Or shmeducation.
Education's for everybody.
So that's not an option. Means everything to me.
Means everything to me.
Yeah. You hear reports of something strange in your neighborhood.
Mm.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
The Lord of Light, the old gods, the new gods.
Old gods.
1-800 mercenaries.
Oh, no, old gods. I like old gods.
I have to be... Are you just answering this how you think a Stark would...
No, well, to me it'd be like old gods, because I like Nordic mythology, which I've discussed before. And then, you know, like old gods. And if that wasn't an answer, I would have chosen mercenaries.
Yeah. So wildlings are the worst, aren't so bad, or what are wildlings?
Aren't so bad.
Stark.
What? Wild? Starks
actually,
hate wildlings.
Yeah, true. A family member is annoying you. What do you do? Find a way to work it out. Find a way to get away from them or them away from you. Give them the silent treatment or get them imprisoned or worse, expelled.
It'd be two or three.
So, either get away from them or them away from you or the silent treatment.
Yeah, no, get them away from me.
Yep. You want to be on the Iron Throne. To get there and hold your power, you will. Use your dazzling wit and charm. Fight, fight, fight. Pit everyone against each other. Or, I don't want to be on the Iron Throne. Are you mad?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. All right. The answer's coming up. We've just got to watch this ad.
Nightwatch. Come on. Give me Nightwatch.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
This is Nightwatch?
We got the same house again.
Is it Targaryen?
No.
Stark.
So both of us got the following house. House Mormont.
Oh.
You may not be a large house, but you make up for it with the ferocity of 10. You defend what is yours and you honor the debts you owe. Also, you have a weird relative who's been friend-zoned by a dragon lady. I don't know.
Right. Okay, so, but once again, you know what? We're going to do this a third time on a different quiz. Not now, later on, just to see if we get the same house again.
I think we're too similar. It's like the quiz determines.
But we're really not.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're not asking the right questions.
It seems so. I couldn't agree more, or less, actually, probably. So, I have something that was suggested to me by a co-worker of mine.
Mm-hmm.
The world is ending.
We know.
Okay.
Next!
Yep, no. next topic. Just let me activate that sound. Okay, no.
Yeah.
So, basically, sand is running out. Did you know this? We're running out of sand.
So, well, we live in Perth, Western Australia. If sand is running out, I'm not seeing evidence around here.
So, on that topic, did you know that it's illegal to take sand from the beach?
I did not.
So, technically, when you get it stuck in your shoes...
You're breaking the law.
But, like, sure, we can say, oh, reasonable, whatever. But if you were to just shovel it up because you wanted to use it to pad out your garden bed or something. Well, don't use beach sand for your garden, but maybe you needed to lift up some land to put some paving over it. You can't actually do that.
Right.
Now, the reason is quite simple, because if everyone in the world just goes, oh, yeah, I'll grab some sand, what happens? Sand keeps getting pulled away and pulled away. The coast slowly goes back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're probably thinking... Ha, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. There's so much sand. Well, guess what? There's actually violent gangs stealing sand around the globe right now. There's
really?
A global shortage of sand. So there is now a black market for sand where people are stealing sand, not necessarily just from the beaches, but they also like go out into the ocean, steal it back there, and then obviously it has to compensate, so all the sand goes back towards wherever they stole it from. So, the large amounts of sand are being stolen from rivers and beaches.
Mm.
If you don't know this, desert sand is not good for construction.
Oh, okay.
Because it's too round and it doesn't stick together as well.
So, well, firstly, just before we do that, why are people stealing sand? Is it just for construction?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you need... So, let's say you want to build a building and you've got a piece of land. It's pretty big. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I want to build a skyscraper here. What's the first thing you do? You need to get it flat.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you can dig down.
But isn't there like this whole proverb, you know, the man who builds his house on sand is foolish, and yet that's what we're all doing.
oh, dear. But concrete is a kind of rock. So, maybe the proverb we're kind of following.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
So, beach sand, for whatever reason, is perfect for construction. So, there are obviously beaches where it's legal to get rid of sand. They've decided for whatever reason it's fine. But we're running out of that. So, people are literally just finding any old beach, stealing the sand and selling it on the black market.
Hmm.
It's becoming a like way of life for these people. Like, to be honest, I don't even blame the people themselves because they're probably at the point where maybe they don't have other ways of making a living. But
we could totally call these people like sand rats or something, sand snakes, like Game of Thrones.
Sandmen?
Sandmen. Perfect. Yes.
Mr. Sandman, gonna tip.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, how does it go?
Bring me a dream, ba 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 ba. Make her the cutest that I've ever seen. Give her two lips like something and something. And something, 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 Mr. Sandman.
You remembered all those words.
I know. Uh-huh.
So, this is actually happening, and I don't know what we can really do about it. We need to find beaches that we don't need, or we need to find a way of converting desert sand, which we have heaps of, into viable construction sand.
Do you know the difference between desert and beach sand?
Well, desert sand is too round and doesn't stick together.
Right.
Whereas beach sand has been formed by the waves in the water rather than the wind. So it works quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But also river sand is the same thing, got water. So in India, river sand mining is disrupting ecosystems, killing countless fish and birds. Because, of course, if you're ruining the river, that means the fish can't live. And if the fish can't live, well, then the birds eating the fish also
massive.
Can't
live. Every, like, just the a trees, chain effect, yeah.
The trees start dying, etc., etc. It becomes a serious ecological problem. And this is getting to the point. I don't know whether you're ready to believe this or not.
Yeah.
But in Indonesia, some 24 small islands are believed to have disappeared completely since 2005 because of sand mining.
Wow. No, I believe it.
So in the past 13 years, 24 islands just don't exist anymore.
Wow. So I would think Australia would be quite the exporter of this, because we are literally an island, massive, and I'm not talking about our desert sand, because nobody's using that apparently, but our coastline is quite rich in sand. I mean, if you look at, it's not rocky, if you look at all along the west coast, it's like just sand everywhere. A sand in my house, bloody sand everywhere, friggin' sand in my crack. Oh, I hate sand.
We are quite blessed to have amazing sandy beaches.
And oh, indeed. It's beautiful white sand as well.
Yeah. Perfect for construction. So, I suspect our beaches will suddenly start disappearing very soon.
Hmm. Interesting. So, that's what's going to cause the apocalypse, you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is sand.
Well,
I believe it's
going to be one contributor.
Well, the interesting thing is, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure our wonderful friend Tyson will correct me if I'm incorrect, but I'm pretty certain I'm spot on. The middle of Australia used to be an ocean.
What?
Yeah. As rock used to be underwater. Fossils and everything used to have been found.
Actually, I believe that.
Yeah. So, like, they had crustaceans and things found in rock and in sand and all that type of stuff. And, yeah. It's actually very interesting.
There's the theory that all of the world's landmass was in one group ages ago. Yeah, I should probably be able to find research as to whether that's true or not, but I'm just getting random websites, so I can't either confirm nor deny that. I leave it to Tyson from
Screen Review. No, I'm looking it up now, because I know I'm just going to get like a tweet, or I'm going to get a message, or Tyson's going to be listening to it and she's going to be like, I need to call him immediately, pause the podcast and just scream at me for 6 straight minutes. I mean, he's so abusive. I mean, if you listen to Screen Review Time Warp, his podcast, all it is just Tyson shouting at you about... No, it's actually quite a good podcast. I enjoy that podcast.
Yes, it's a great podcast.
Oh, we need...
Oh, by the way, yes. While we're on that topic, mm-hmm. I am actually going to be...
Wait, we'll do that at the end.
Okay.
But we need to have Zach on here, so that way we can
collect the full...
Exactly, yes.
So, Zach, if you're listening...
Be careful, we're coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, one day, you're just going to be walking home from the shops, and then all of a sudden, there's just going to be a black sackcloth over your head with, I don't know, duct tape all around you, and then thrown into the back of... a moving ute. I'm not going to say whose ute. And then suddenly you're just going to be brought into a house, warm house, silent, and then sat down, blindfold, sackcloth, everything's going to be taken off, and you're going to be doing a podcast with us, just so you're aware.
Okay, so I hope that stalling for time allowed you to find out the true fact of whether Australia was underwater.
I would, maybe, but I've just had
you're
this weird thing pop
again.
Up. No, don't sign me up. Go away. Oh, that's annoying. I'm going to go with a solid yes. Yes, it is. I can.
So, we're probably going to be victim of a lot of tweets heading our way, proving how wrong we were.
Indeed.
But, okay, that probably brings us to the end of sand causing the apocalypse.
Yeah, well, that actually does interest me, because I didn't know sand mining was a thing in this regard. It's... quite worrying.
Well, did you know that human construction is affecting nature to the point where the rotation of the Earth around its axis is slowing?
Hmm.
because all the buildings and skyscrapers are being built so far up. All the heavy metals are moving from under the ground, being mined and built into buildings above the ground, to the point where now Earth has slowed down its rotation around its axis. Days are literally getting longer.
Oh, but so are nights.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Everything is about to balance. I wouldn't mind longer nights. I wouldn't like longer days. But that being said, I don't... because there's no way you could really reverse that. Because, I mean, everything's kind of... like these metals, heavy metals, things like that, they're like spread out underground, right? When they're being mined. So the weight is distributed. However, if you wanted to, let's say, reverse this elongating of the days, so you're just like, all right, let's smash every skyscraper on the planet and put them underground, then it's just going to throw everything off still because it's... I mean, you could break it up, I guess. I don't know. There's a thought for you. Environmentalist, start smashing skyscrapers.
Okay.
A brick at a
time.
Maybe
Thanos will do that for
us. Oh, I'm on Team Thanos. You know what annoys me, though?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. He did the... yeah, sorry. You know what annoys me, though? I watched Infinity War, got home, and they had, like, this... not a quiz, just like a did you survive the snap, right?
Okay.
So I'm just like, oh, maybe I didn't. Great. I hope I didn't. Non-existent sounds wonderful. So click on it. And then, I survived, according to this, because it splits the, whoever does it, 50-50.
Oh, right.
And I survived. And it tracks, like, it holds your IP, so that way you can't not survive, or survive, as most people probably want to do. But yeah, so I survived. How upsetting. I know, right?
I mean, it sounds like we should be worried about your welfare if you're saying you'd rather have never existed, but you know what? We've come to expect
it tracks
this.
For me, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yes.
So, we have done two episodes in the past of this vein where we play music for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
basically, I just sing, just scream at John, he's got to guess the song.
If you value your headphones or your eardrums, please skip this segment. No, so what it really is, we choose a bunch of songs and get each other to guess, but it always has a theme. So today's, theme is a TV show.
You were slain by Thanos.
Oh, I'm gone?
Yeah, sorry, because I used your internet, so yeah, you're gone. Sorry, dude.
I never existed. Okay, so I actually haven't watched the movie, so I have no idea what the reality glove does, but I can
Infinity Gauntlet, but yes, reality glove. Sorry, that's going on my thing now. Brilliant. Yep, sorry, go on.
So we just pick basically songs from TV shows and see if each other know what it is. What are you doing? We're trying to do a podcast.
Sorry, I haven't seen the new Doctor Who trailer, so I'll be watching that in a second. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do a reaction.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so...
all right, who wants to go first?
I vote you go first.
Right.
Okay. I'm really worried I've chosen a bunch of songs that you've chosen.
All right, so if you don't get this one, I do have a backup because this is an instrumental version of the theme of the show, okay? Some of you will get this, some of you will not. If you don't get it, well, even if you do get it, I'll play the full version afterwards. Okay, here we go.
Have you... can I ask?
Yes.
Have I watched this show?
You should have.
Okay. All right.
If you claim to be a nerd. All right. Here we go.
I know what it is. It's Star Trek, isn't it?
It is very good.
Oops, wrong one. It is very good. It is, yes. This is Star Trek The Next Generation, themed violin. But yes, so that is a violin cover. Of course, the other one actually has the voiceover.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds.
Anyway, so yes, well done. Point for John. Star Trek indeed. So that is good for you. You
now,
human.
The only reason I knew that, I've never actually... Well, I have watched one episode of The Next Generation with you.
Yep, that is The Next Generation.
But I actually chose that song for
you
for the Star Trek, for the movies one, because there's Star Trek movies as well.
Oh, of course, yes, yes, yes.
So they obviously redid that for the J.J. Abrams movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a little bit of an advantage there, but to be fair to me, if you had have actually remembered that, then you would have known, but...
True, yeah, yeah.
Moving swiftly along.
All right, your turn.
So I've got something a little bit different. I'll be very impressed if you can get this, but maybe it's so iconic that you'll get it straight away, so...
Oh, boy.
Get it as quickly as you can, and I'll be impressed.
All right.
Wait, no, not that one. This one.
Oh, that's Community.
Yes, dream.
Good work.
Give me the hope for all honesty. Somebody said we could be here. We could be roped up, tied up, dead in a year.
I've actually got this song on my phone.
Yeah, it's so good.
Just that literal bit. Oh, I love it. Two, three, four.
One by one, they all just fade away. But you do.
Oh, brilliant.
I can see Community. Troy and Abed in the morning.
I know,
already.
Right? I love Donald Glover. He's actually really cool.
He is.
Okay, so one all. Very good. Okay, so this one. Oh, I didn't actually... All right, I'll just click on this. Here we go. Ready? You should get this, maybe. Hopefully. It's quite popular.
Oh, What? I know this song, but I don't know what it's from. I know it. I know.
Oh, he's struggling.
I can see the graphics
mm-hmm.
flying around.
Would you like me to listen to it again?
Yes. I know it. It's like I've watched this a billion times. I've seen it. I just don't know what it is.
Oh, are you going to be giving up on this one?
I think so. I think I'm going to have to.
I'll say a couple of names, shall I? Let's go with Captain Raymond Holt.
Oh, yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
There you go.
I knew it was something.
I'll give you half a point.
Yeah.
Half a point. All right, give me one.
I feel so bad. I reckon mine are too easy now.
That was easy.
No,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Come on.
That's full popular. All right, give me one. Go on.
All right. This again, I think you know this show well, so I want to know how quickly you can get it again.
Oh, boy. All right. Oh, Chuck.
Oh, wow. How did you get that from one trumpet?
Because I also had that song on my phone.
Oh.
I want a girl with a lot. What is that? I want a girl with a mind. There you go.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. I want a girl.
Oh, yeah, you do have this song
on
your phone.
Yeah.
Okay,
eyes
yeah.
That burn like cigarettes. Oh,
I feel like I've made these way too easy for you.
That's another point for me. All right. Okay, I'll give you an easy one. How about this?
Yes, please.
All right. Here we go. If you don't get this, I'm going to be my disappointment. You'll be able to hear it just through my eyes.
Okay.
Okay.
I hear it through your eye. I don't get. Oh, Sherlock.
There you go.
Stephen Moffat version.
Yes. There you go.
Notice how that took me not
point
long enough.
0.02 seconds.
There
yes.
are two shows that I like so far above any other TV show that you just can't compare, and
indeed.
They are Doctor Who and Sherlock.
Well, just for our listeners, so they can, let us play it a little bit more. Obviously, you're gonna. Yeah, that's 6 minutes long.
Anyway.
Yes.
Okay, so I think I'm going to have to make this a bit harder. So I'm going to choose a not main theme, but you've got to get it.
Okay. Game of Thrones.
Oh, come on. This is way too easy.
What was that out of curiosity?
Lannister always pays his debts.
I see. All right, let's see if you can get this one. Hold on. This has just become a who could get this? All right, here we go. Ready? Let's go this side.
I don't know. It reminds me of like Moby mixed with Mass Effect 2.
That you don't get that?
No.
Which is really odd. That's like the Sherlock of medicine.
Oh, is that House?
It is.
Yeah, I've never seen House.
Ah, okay. So yes, indeed, that was House. I've never skipped the opener when I watched that series because yeah. I chill to it, you know. All right, give me another.
I'm winning. You a harder one.
All right. Oh, okay. Is this a theme?
No, it's from the show. Let me tell you, if I played this theme to you, it would not take you long at all.
Oh, okay. This is tough. All right. Oh, I know this.
Yeah, you know this song.
Oh my god. This is also Sherlock, isn't it?
No. It's getting to the main melody where you might know it.
Oh, no. Alright.
Ready? Oh, wait. No, that's not the bit where it plays the melody. It's a little bit more build up.
Are you saying I would definitely know this?
Yeah. You know this show really well.
Really well? It's not Doctor Who. Is it? I should have known.
Ah, come on.
Straight away. I should have known. What is this?
Our childhood, our home. This is the Gallifrey main.
Ah, okay, radio.
It's one of those memes where it's like Gallifrey theme intensifies. Because like when the Doctor is reminiscing about his home, it plays way too dramatic music. It's amazing.
All right, this is going to be the last one for me.
All right, and you then I've get got this. My last one. I know the exact tune. Like, I know every note of this theme song. I don't know.
Tonight?
Is it like MASH or something?
No.
What is this?
That would have been a good one to put up, though.
I know the show. And, like, I can picture the... Why do you do this?
Okay, how about this? I'll say this. There are two things I hate. Lying and skim milk, which is just lying about being... Which is just water lying about being milk.
Dude, I know this show. I just don't know what it is.
Are you sure about that?
Because can you give me one more clue?
Town hall meetings.
What?
There are a lot of them.
A lot of town hall... Oh, no. What? It's not, Parks and Rec?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've never actually watched that, but I know
you
the
know
theme.
But you know the theme song yeah. really well. Okay, all right, give me the last one.
Okay. This... I don't know if you've ever seen this show.
Oh. Oh, okay. I can't... This is not ringing any bells.
Yeah, maybe you've never seen it. I have a backup.
Is this SBS or something?
No.
Is this, like, Glow or That 70s Show?
Nope.
I don't know. What is it? I don't have it. No, I'm not going to guess that.
It's Suits.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never watched that one.
It's actually a really good show, especially the first season. Well worth the watch.
I see.
All right, but I will give you a bonus one because...
I'm still in the lead regardless.
Yeah, so you've won at this point.
Yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest. Okay, I'm going to give you... You'll get this instantly.
Oh, Friends, of course.
Yes.
I did have, like, my mind's gone, I'll get this interestingly, like, instantly, so my mind's going, like, through all my shows at once, just like, what hasn't he given me yet? So no
one told you that was gonna be this isn't the way I remember it, sounds it. Your job's a
joke, oh, brilliant. Okay. So I win that one. So I think, quiz-wise, I think it's... Well, it was 1-1, wasn't it?
I thought it was 1-1 and one that I won.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So now we're 2-1.
Now we... I think. Man, I need to go back.
We'll have to go back and listen to our stuff.
I've recorded all the apocalypse offs, which I can tell you that we are even on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've recorded who has won each battle.
Alrighty.
Oh, well.
Fair enough. Okay.
You... Absolutely decimated me at that one, so well done. Aaron.
Sorry, yeah, shows are my jam. I love my shows.
You've challenged me to a new challenge. It's not an apocalypse off. It isn't one of the 7 challenges that I owe Adam and he gets to challenge me anything.
We're down to 4 at the moment.
Four left because Adam managed to trick me into...
Never
told that story.
Okay, we haven't. All right, so I think it was like during one of our last recordings... We were talking about Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which is like one of my favorite internet shows ever.
It's great.
It's fantastic. And we're singing a song.
Bad horse, bad horse, bad horse, he's bad. He rides across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin. He got the application that you just sent in. It needs evaluation, so let the games begin. A heinous crime or something, a murder would be nice, of course. Bad horse,
bad horse. Okay, anyway, sorry about that, folks. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And you said something... What was it? What was the actual thing?
So I was saying, oh, yeah, there's that scene where she's like...
Penny song.
Yeah, I was like, this is the saddest moment in the whole thing where she's singing about him, but he's not there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and you thought it was a Penny song.
Yeah, where you say, keep your head up, Billy Buddy.
Yeah, and she is literally lifting his head up.
Yeah, and I thought, no, she's sitting alone and she wishes she could say that to him in person.
That is so they say.
Yeah, I was absolutely convinced that it was Penny's song.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I will owe Adam one more challenge if he's right, and he would owe me one challenge if I was right.
Indeed.
And it turns out Adam's knowledge of Dr. Horrible was far greater.
It's terrifying, even. I love Joss Whedon. I mean, him creating this was a gift. If Joss Whedon were to die tomorrow, I mean, touch wood, he doesn't, because he's a creative genius. I wouldn't remember him for his movies. I would remember him from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Wow.
It's
great, though.
He's godlike. So, yeah, anyway. Yes, so we're going to be doing a fact-off, which is... and it's just going to be judged by us, or if someone else wants to retcon our decision, that's fine. But basically, who comes up with the most interesting bit of trivia, if you will? Which, hey, this could help you at trivia night, who knows?
Yeah, it really will. Next time there's like a quiz night or something, you'll be the best at this. Mm. So you're welcome, to be honest.
I think maybe mine only has... So we're each going to present 3 facts, and we get to judge... At the end, who had the coolest fact, essentially, from an unbiased standpoint. All right. So mine, I've discovered recently that my facts aren't really facts. They're more, I don't even know what they are.
Okay.
All right, but we'll see how we go. Okay, so John, you have the con.
Well, the what?
The con.
Oh, right, yeah. So,
Star Trek reference.
TNG, yeah. So, my first fact is... I hope I haven't told you this before, because if I have, that'll make it less interesting. But a lemon is not a naturally occurring fruit.
Okay.
It's actually bred from a sour orange and a citron. The sour orange itself being bred from a pomelo and a mandarin. So it's not the product of evolution or naturally occurring, but selective breathing. Why? Now, what does this mean, Adam? Why is this an interesting fact? Why did I bring it up?
I don't know why.
Because it proves 100% certainty life didn't give us lemons after all.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. High five. That's a good one. You haven't used that on me before.
Awesome.
So that's a strong opener there, John.
Oh.
Life can't give you lemons.
Yeah. We gave ourselves lemons.
Wow.
This is the very nature of the human race and everything. Are you looking up more facts while I'm talking?
Kinda.
More of an
expansion on one of my facts.
Okay. So, it just proves that we make trouble for ourselves, don't we?
It's very interesting. Okay, yes, that's what I wanted. Okay, cool.
Your fact.
All right, my
over
fact.
To you.
Let's go with this one. The name Australia contains three A's, and each of them are pronounced differently.
That's good.
I know it's not as good. So far, you're definitely in the lead in my books, but I do like that little bit of trivia. Australia has three A's and each of them are pronounced differently.
Australia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like it because you tied in Australia. Unfortunately, just today, I heard the same fact of Mercedes has three E's each. Oh, or is it Mercedes? Yeah, three E's and they're all pronounced differently. So I've already had this fact in my head. So that's the only reason it didn't blow my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a good fact. Good tie-in to Australia.
Okay, cool, cool. All right,
so
you go.
So I have the next one. Actually, I'm going to reorder them because I need to leave this last one because it's going to blow your mind. Vikings used the bones of slain animals when smithing new weapons, believing this would enchant the weapon with the animal's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you already know.
I did know this one.
Of course, Norse lore. This actually made weapons stronger because the carbon in the bones, coupled with the iron, made a primitive version of steel.
Steel, yeah. Yeah, obviously, they didn't go for steel. They went for the whole concept of the spirit of the wolf, spirit of the bear, things like that, kind of giving you strength. Kind of... It's not, but it does kind of tie into berserkers in a certain way, which is quite interesting, quite fun stuff.
I don't know why I thought, like, Norse mythology, man. I don't know why I didn't think that you would already know that one.
All right, I'm going to go with this one. This is the one I kind of had to change a bit. All right.
You can't change facts. This isn't like
I'm sorry.
Fake news, alternative facts.
No, this one. All right. You probably know this because you're Mr. Gardening Man who knows everything. But regardless, when you eat pineapple, pineapple eats you.
What? No.
Yep.
Because right now, it all in comes- the garden, I have five pineapple plants
mm-hmm.
growing.
So, pineapple has this thing called bromelain, which actually digests proteins. It's basically a race between you eating the pineapple and the pineapple eating you.
Oh,
it's, it's the whole thing of the pineapple going, right, I can digest you, but you saying, not if I digest you first, which is pretty cool. So, once you swallow the pineapple, the acids in your stomach destroy the enzymes. But, you know, as you're eating pineapple, sometimes you'll feel like if you eat a lot of pineapple, you'll start feeling sore around the mouth. That's because the enzyme is starting to break down the protein in your mouth.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, because they feel like very acidy.
Yeah.
But it's like not just acid, it's the enzyme.
So I guess you could say that putting pineapple on pizza could be dangerous to your health.
Oh, shots fired. Oh, no, that's dangerous to
I love pineapple pizza.
Oh, good.
Me pineapple too. On pizza.
We just lost half our podcast audience.
So, yeah, but hey, it does come with a risk having a pineapple pizza, I'm telling you now.
Yeah, we've got scientific proof.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're welcome, anti-pineapple on pizza people.
Yeah, we just gave you a gift, even, you know, at the expense of myself. I needed to get a good fact in. All right.
So, this is my last fact. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
This is a short one.
All right.
I've left this till last, so I hope it impacts.
All right.
Did you know that in Japan... more paper is used to make manga than there is to make toilet paper.
No, really?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that's
this
insane.
Is absolutely insane until someone reminds you that over there it's more popular to have
a bidet. Yeah. Oh, of course.
But it is like that fact to be able to just spout that out in a social situation.
So, hey, this is a good fact for you guys to, you know, bring up in a conversation. If you're in an awkward position, just be like, hey, did you know pineapple eats you? Or hey, you know the Japanese, they use more paper in manga than in toilet paper.
I reckon this could come in handy if you're ever visiting a friend's house and they run out of toilet paper and you have to walk out there and be like, I need toilet paper. Well, don't walk out there, just like poke your head out and be like, hey, can I get toilet paper? And like while they're getting it for you, it's like,
Did you know?
just like get rid of some of that awkwardness.
That's cool. All right. So that's cool. I like that. So I have two facts here, all right, that I want to say. I'm going to say one. And I'm going to say one of them isn't so much a fact. One of them is more like a...
Wait, are you sneaking in four facts? Because
no,
I'm
no,
going to
no,
get a new
no,
fact.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying the one I am choosing is a fact. The other one is more of a math thing, if you like. It exists. Anyway, okay. So Norway has a town called Hell, and it regularly freezes over.
God. That's awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that one.
I actually have heard that before.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, which isn't a fact, I just like the idea of it.
Okay.
So when you say a million seconds, it means 11 and a half days. Okay, roughly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But if you say a billion seconds, it is over 31 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's like a difference between a million and a billion when you think about
like
it.
Like, if you told me you were a billionaire, or if you told me you're a millionaire, I'd be like, there's not that much difference.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it like that, that's huge.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you think is the most mind-blowing fact?
Why don't we quickly just go through each of our facts?
Okay.
So, for me, pineapple devours. Norway called... a village in Norway called Hell that freezes over. And I can't remember my third one because I deleted it off my screen. Actually, I could get it back on. There we go. The name Australia contains three A's, each of which are different. Okay?
All right. Mine were life didn't give us lemons.
I like that one.
Vikings using bones to make steel, and Japan having more manga than toilet paper.
Sorry, I do like the life one because you tied in a little pun, which was life didn't give us lemons, we gave it to ourselves. So for me, the lemon law comes into effect here.
The lemon law.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I must say, I reckon I would agree that it won.
Yep, I agree, 100%.
It's hard because I'd be biased, but it's not as if we're keeping score for this. So.
Precisely. But yeah, so hopefully...
Plus, I won the last game, so I feel like I need to pick me up.
So yeah, hopefully that'll help you out in conversational instances. You can just bring that up and talk about it. So yeah, hopefully that'll be good for you guys. As you know, fine people, this podcast is dedicated to one sole purpose. And it's not surviving the apocalypse, the nerd's way.
As you might think.
As you might think from the title, indeed.
The logo, everything we talk about, etc.
But no, I came into this podcast for one purpose and one purpose only. It is not to make sure every other person survives the apocalypse. No. It is one purpose only. And that is to shout the glory of the one true author, the one author to rule them all and bring them into the shadow and bind them to his will. And that is Patrick Rothfuss. Yes, I basically just equated him to Sauron because, let's face it, he pretty much is. This book I'm about to talk about, just briefly, is called The Slow Regard of Silent Things. It is my favorite of the four... I say four books, but the four stories he has written thus far.
Fun fact, I still haven't read...
The Lightning Tree. Fair. It's all right. It's part of the Rogues anthology. But regardless, anyway. I love The Slow Regard of Silent Things. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. But the problem is that you have to have at least read the first book of the Kingkiller Chronicles, The Name of the Wind. It's always better to read the second as well before you read it, though.
Because technically it does take part... bit into the second book.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not 100% necessary. Like, no. I couldn't remember the exact instance that she's thinking about coming up, if that makes sense.
I do. I remember after the second time I'd actually read it.
Yeah.
Because then, I listened to everything, in order. Anyway, so The Slow Regard of Silent Things follows the character called Ori. She is the broken girl who lives in the Underthing. And she's... I say broken because Well, she is. She describes herself as such. She is a gorgeous way of looking at the world, and she has basically crippling OCD.
So one of the things that Patrick Rothfuss added to his stories to add some depth and kind of risk and danger associated with magic is that...
it can break the mind.
Yeah, like particularly the naming, which is the most powerful, most... probably least well understood magic in his world, actually has the ability to, like, tear your mind asunder, really.
What I like about this is, kind of towards the end of the book, it is revealed that Ori is powerful. She is quite strong. Not just in her alchemic talent, but just for herself. Not for herself. She doesn't tap into that power. She taps into it for others, because that's the way she views things. She doesn't want to be selfish. She wants to be small and hidden away.
She cares a lot about how things should have been anyway, like mm-hmm. the proper place and the proper way of things.
And it doesn't make sense to you as a reader at all as to why this belongs here and this belongs here.
Why does it have to be there?
Exactly. But it is, like, after reading this book, because it is beautiful in its... the language in it is gorgeous. That's the thing about this book, is because of the way... it's not a long book. It's only... let me have a look here. It is... only about 147 pages. So it wouldn't take you long to read. And as compared to his other works, the language it uses is just gorgeous. It really makes you sit back and think. It's almost poetry in some parts. It's gorgeous. But I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to read the author's end note. For you fine people. So I'll crack this out nice and quick, because it'll give you an insight into Patrick Rothfuss and how he writes and why he writes what he writes. So begin. So this is the beginning. Author's end note. Let me tell you a story about a story, because that's what I do. Back in January of 2013, I was in a San Francisco bar with Vi Hart, mathematician, videoetrix, and all-around lovely person.
Really great videos. I
haven't seen any.
Yeah, it's. I think it was most useful for me during uni when I was doing some maths. Mm. Yeah, it's really, really good. Really good explanations.
Okay, I like it. All around lovely person. We'd both been fans of each other's work for years without knowing it, and had recently been introduced by a mutual friend. This was our first time meeting in person. I had just finished the first draft of the story you now hold, or that I'm now reading to you, and Vi Hart had agreed to take a look at it and give me her opinion. We spent a couple of hours talking about the story, our conversation frequently tangenting off in odd directions, as good conversations always do. Her feedback was really good. Not just clever, but startlingly insightful. When I mentioned this to her, she looked slightly amused, and explained that writing was most of what she did. She scripted her videos, then recorded them. The scripting was the lion's share of the work. She pointed out some things that needed work in the story, some rough spots, some logical incongruities. She pointed out the part she liked too, and talked about the story as a whole. I should mention that by this point in the evening, I was slightly drunk. A bit of a rarity for me. He's not just an offside there. Patrick Rothfuss is not a drunk. He is an awesome bearded hobo, essentially. He's fantastic.
The chance of getting him on the podcast has just reduced.
Are you kidding? He described himself like that.
Oh, okay, that's
fine.
He's
glorious. But since we were hanging out at a bar, it seemed polite to buy a drink. Then I had a drink because Vi was having another, and I wanted to be social. Then I had another because I was a little nervous about meeting Vi for the first time. Then I had another because I was a little nervous about my story. Well, let's be honest, I was more than a little nervous about the story. I knew deep, deep in my heart of hearts that my new wrought story was a train wreck. A colossal, smouldering mess of a train wreck. It doesn't do the things a story is supposed to do, I said to her. A story should have dialogue, action, conflict. A story should have more than one character. I've written a 30,000-word vignette. Vi said she liked it. Well, yes, I said. I like it too. But that doesn't matter. You see, people expect certain things from a story, I explained. You can leave out one or two if you step carefully, but you can't ditch them all. The closest thing I have to an action scene is someone making soap. I spent 8 pages describing someone making soap. Now, pause here for a moment, people. Don't let that turn you off, okay? Because that making soap scene is glorious, okay? John, you've read this. Back me up.
Yes, it's glorious, as is the rest of the book. Mm-hmm. You'll understand as you start reading it why you would find a soap-making scene entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But surely that sold you already, that you would get to the point where you would enjoy such a thing.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, so 8 pages of a 60-page story making soap. That's something a crazy person does. As I've said, I was really worried about the story, and perhaps more than slightly drunk. And I was finally getting something off my chest that I hadn't really shared with anyone before. People are going to read this and be annoyed. Just changed one word there. Vi looked at me with serious eyes. I felt more of an emotional connection to the inanimate objects in this story than I feel towards entire characters in other books. It's a good story. But I wasn't having any of it. I shook my head, not even looking at her. Readers expect certain things. People are going to read this and be disappointed. It doesn't do what a normal story is supposed to do. Then Via said something to me that I will always remember. And for the sake of keeping our non-explicit tag, I'm just going to say, "Bugger those people," she said. "Those people have stories written for them all the time. What about me? Where's the story for people like me?" Her voice was passionate and hard and slightly angry. She might have slammed her hand down on the table. I like to think she slammed her hand down on the table. Let's say she did. "Let those people have their normal stories," Vi said. "This story isn't for them. This is my story. This is a story for people like me." It was one of the nicest things anyone has ever said to me. I did not mean to write this story. Or rather, I did not mean to have this story about Ori turn out the way it did. I started writing midway through 2012, and meant to be a short story for the Rogues anthology, edited by George Martin and someone. I'd anticipated it being a trickster story, and figured Ori would make a nice compliment to the more traditional scoundrel type, who would no doubt show up in that book. But the story didn't turn out the way I'd expected. It was stranger than a simple trickster's tale, and Ori herself was more full of secrets and mysteries than I had guessed. Eventually, the Ori story hit 14,000 words, and I abandoned it. It was too long, too odd, and besides all that, it had become clear that it wasn't right for the anthology. Ori was no mere trickster. More importantly, this wasn't a rogue story at all. Despite the fact that I was already over deadline, no surprise there, Martin and Gardner were very kind to give me some extra time. So I wrote The Lightning Tree instead, a story featuring Bast, and a much better fit for the anthology. But Ori's story was still crawling around in my head, and I realized the only way to get it out was to finish the damned thing. Besides, I owed Bill Schaefer at Subterranean Press a novella from way back. He'd published my two not-for-children books, which are amazing, by the way, for our listeners.
Really great.
The Adventures of the Princess and Mr. Whiffle, The Thing Beneath the Bed. If you want, there is a YouTube video, 2016 Comic-Con Patrick Rothfuss panel. The beginning of it is him reading this. It is fantastic. Can we link that in the show notes, by any chance, John?
Sure.
Fantastic. And the sequel, The Dark of Deep Below. So
I haven't seen nor read that one yet.
No, I haven't either. No.
I've got to
so
go.
So I knew he wasn't afraid of a story that was a little strange. So I kept writing the story, and it kept getting longer and stranger. I could tell by this point it wasn't any sort of normal. It wasn't doing the things a proper story should do. It was, by all traditional means, a mess. But here's the thing. I liked it. It was weird and wrong and tangled and missing many things that a story was supposed to need. And it kind of worked. Not only was I learning a lot about Ori and the Underthing, but the story itself had a sort of sweetness to it. Whatever reason, I let the story develop according to its own desire. I didn't force it into a different shape or put anything into it that it wasn't supposed to be there. I decided to let it be itself, at least for now. At least until I needed to make an end. Then I knew I'd probably have to wield the editorial hatchet, performing cruel surgery in order to turn it into something normal. But not yet. You see, I'd actually been down this road before. The Name of the Wind does a lot of things a story's not meant to do. The prologue is a laundry list of things you should never do as a writer. But despite all that, it works. Sometimes a story works because it's different. Maybe this was that kind of story. But then I wrote the 8-page scene with Ori making soap, and I realized this was not the case. It was a trunk story. For those of you who don't know the term, a trunk story is something you write, then when it's finished, you put the manuscript in the bottom of a trunk and forget about it. It's not the sort of story you sell to a publisher. Not the sort of story people want to read. It's the sort of story you write, then on your deathbed you remember it and ask a close friend to burn all your unpublished papers right after they clear your browser history, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Bill at Subterranean Press was delightfully open to strange projects, but this? No, 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 no. This was a story I had to write to get out of my head. I had to write it to learn about Ori in the world, which is named Temerant, by the way. Did you catch that? Simply said, I knew this story was for me. It wasn't for other people. Sometimes that happens. But still, I liked it. It was strange and sweet. I'd finally found Ori's voice. I'm rather fond of her, and I'd learned a lot about writing in the third person, so it wasn't a total waste of time. When it was finished, I sent it to my agent, Matt, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're a writer. I told him I was going to offer it to Bill, but that I didn't expect Bill would actually want it, as it was, narratively speaking, a train wreck. But Matt read it and liked it. He gave me a call and said he should send it to Betsy, my editor at Door. She isn't going to want this, I said. It's a mess. This is the story a crazy person writes. Matt reminded me that according to my contracts, Betsy had rights of first refusal on any future books I wrote. Besides, he said, it's just a polite thing to do to loop her in. She's your primary publisher. I shrugged and told him to go ahead and send it, slightly embarrassed to think of Betsy reading it. But then Betsy read it and liked it. She really liked it. She wanted to publish it. That's when I started to sweat. In the many months since my conversation with Vi-Hart, I'd revised the story roughly 80 times. This isn't unusual for me. In fact, it's on the light side. As part of the process, I'd given the story to about 36 beta readers, gathering feedback to help me in my endless, obsessive revisions. And one comment people have made over and over and over again, phrased many different ways, is this. I don't know what other people think. They probably won't like it, but I enjoyed it. It's strange to me how many people have said some version of that. Hell, I just now realize I said something similar myself a page or two ago in this author's note. The truth is, I'm fond of Ori. I have a special place in her heart. I have a special place in my heart for her. Sweet, strange, shattered girl. I love her more than just a little. I think it's because we're both somewhat broken. In our own odd ways. More importantly, we're both aware of it. Ori knows she isn't quite all proper true inside, and this makes her feel very much alone. I know how she feels. But that is not unusual. I'm an author, after all. I'm supposed to know how and what a character feels. It wasn't until I started gathering feedback that I realized how common this feeling is. I've had person after person tell me that they empathize with Ori, that they know where she's coming from. I didn't expect that. I cannot help but wonder how many of us walk through our lives, day after day, feeling slightly broken and alone, surrounded all the time by others who feel exactly the same way. So if you didn't read this book and you didn't enjoy it, if you did read this book and you didn't enjoy it, I'm sorry. That's my fault. This is a strange story. You might enjoy it more on a second reading. Most of my stories are better the second time around. But then again, maybe not. If you're one of the people who found this story disconcerting, off-putting, or confusing, I apologize. The truth is, it probably just isn't for you. The good news is that there are many other stories out there that are written just for you. Stories you will enjoy much more. This story is for all the slightly broken people out there. I am one of you. You are not alone. You are all beautiful to me. Patrick Rothfuss, 2014. So yes, I love that ending. That's basically all I wanted to read, really, is that ending. Because that always gets me. That touches me. And, yeah, that's what this story is. About a broken girl. And anybody who's read this... the only person who I know who's read this, who didn't instantly fall in love with Ori, was your sister.
Yeah.
But Patrick Rothfuss said in his end note, this story isn't for everybody. And it's nothing wrong with that. Oh, my goodness. John, that makes me... Now I'm all... broken inside.
That was an emotional end to this episode.
I hate my life. So yes, okay, here's a question for you, John. Ranking the books of this, in what order would you put them that you've read out of the three that you've read? Which ones did you enjoy most? Out of the three, which have you enjoyed the most?
It's hard. The two main ones are hard. Like, I will say I like both of them more than Ori's story, so Regard of Silent Things. It was a great story, but I do like the full, like, proper narrative of the other two. So, but as for which one, like, the Name of the Wind, obviously, that blew everyone's minds. It was completely different. And then Wise Man's Fear just follows the same kind of template. But there was a lot of really cool stuff that they put in Wise Man's Fear. And in fact, he doesn't find out in the Name of the Wind in the Name of the Wind. He finds it out in...
Well, he barely finds it out in Wise Man's Fear,
yeah,
either.
Right. So, I mean,
he did break Ambrose's arm in Name of the Wind. So, he did call it in that, I guess.
Okay. All right. But, so the point is it's like... The way I think about it is the books are just books. What is the real entertaining thing is the story that exists and is being crafted in Patrick Rothfuss's mind. I can't really separate all the books if I really think about it. They're just our little sneak peek into what this story is.
Fair enough. Well, I have it all done properly. So we got a Silent Things, Wise Men's Fear, Name of the Wind, Lightning Tree.
Okay. Oh, right. I haven't read Lightning Tree.
Oh, they're not really... Well, they are books, I guess. I really do love the not-for-children's books.
Ah, they are fantastic.
They are quite funny. You should really check it out, folks. That's got some weird endings, I'm telling you now.
Don't spoil it.
I didn't expect it, eh? Like, I was...
And once you figure it out, you're like, oh,
exactly,
everything's
right?
So obvious now.
So you've watched that, obviously.
Yes.
When did you expect anything?
I knew there was going to be something. I didn't know what it was.
Did you know? But did you see anything?
No, like little bits that just make you go, "Wait, that's unusual." But then he moves on.
Yeah. The only thing that I picked up was the spikes on the fence.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that
because I was just like, because I thought to myself, "Oh, she on the outside." Because that's
anyway,
the only thing.
No spoilers.
Yeah, and then it moved on. So I was just like, oh.
Yeah. So just attention to detail will come in very
exactly. Hey,
handy.
We've talked about observational skills before.
Yeah.
Really helpful in this.
So go listen to our episode 6 situational awareness. And then
John, nice call.
Come and watch that book. So, yeah. So one last thing before we move on. Adam and I have a little challenge going, which is that he reckons Patrick Rothfuss will come on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, before
I can manage to get us involved at a Comic-Con or a future, what is it called? Supernova panel. So, we'll see, really. But Patrick Rothfuss, if you want to make me lose, which I think that's a good idea... just tweet us at
the nerds way_pod.
And yeah. Anyway, moving on. I will keep in contact with everyone from Supernova. But I've now have to wait another year. Oh, well, thanks very much for tuning in on the wireless to that episode.
Indeed. Next time, join in for War Watch. Will the Germans finally invade Britain? Find out next week on... No, I'm just kidding.
if you like a bit of that, go back and listen to our episode, which I believe was called Future Edition.
Future Edition.
Surviving the Apocalypse Edition 14 featured wax cylinders that we found. Yeah, anyway.
Oh my goodness, was that...
It's ages ago now. It's 10 episodes ago.
We're 10... Wow, this is...
It feels like just yesterday.
It really does. It really does.
Actually, it feels like just yesterday when we were talking about ASMR. Go listen to episode 1 if you have no idea
why I
made that sound.
I remember listening to episode 1, thinking, wow, this is... Sound quality is actually better than I expected, et cetera, et cetera. And
now
like,
if you listen to it...
back to back, like with a modern episode to an old episode, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe we just had to use a mattress up against a wall to kind of break up the echo a little.
It's so listen to episode 1, have fun, maybe put it on speakers, not headphones, so that you can survive the bad quality. It gets better at episode 5, I promise. Or episode 6, maybe.
It's still, hey, episode 1 through 6 are pretty cool as well.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, episode 4 was when I did the Demon Cycle review, saying, oh, yeah, it's good, it's not, it's rubbish, don't bother.
There goes our sponsorship deal.
Yeah. Wallabel, Alabai, Thilabink, Thalabat, Ilibis, Dilibi, Elabend, Folobor, Alabas, Jolabon.
Okay, so we've just filled up this last bit with a lot of references to old episodes, but I hope it makes you feel like it'll be a good, fun adventure to go back and listen to them while you wait for episode 25 to come out. But 24 was a blast.
It was.
Hope you enjoyed it.
All right, well, I'm going to go play the Midnight Game and read The Raven.
Okay, I want to make an awesome throwback. I'm going to play the Zombie Run app. My goodness. Like we always said we were going to do. Yeah, anyway. And I hope my clone doesn't come and attack me.
Oh, good. Nice. Nice. Oh. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to go, I guess, no, I can't actually look at anything else. I'm trying to think of something cool. All right, we're leaving. Thank you for hanging around with us. If you want to get in contact with me, it's A Voice of Adam on Twitter and The Nerd's Way on Twitter as well. John?
The Nerd's Way _ pod. You can find me, JLOKELY, on Twitter, or just find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNerdsWay.
Or if you want to give us a long, long story and you don't want to tweet it, you can email us it at thenerdsway@gmail.com.
Indeed you can.
And I think that's it, John. That's it. We're done. We're finished.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. We are going to do some watching. Doctor Who Series 11. You've never seen this trailer. It's 50 seconds long, so...
I kept this basically unwatched, so that way we could... Well, that way I could watch it with you for the first time. Because I'm really looking forward to this, because I like Jodie Whittaker. So this should be really good.
Okay.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's just close that.
Just... Oh, no, I was... No, I won't say that at all.
Yeah. It's just my notes app, if anyone's wondering.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Doctor Who, let's go. 50 seconds.
All of this is new to me. New faces. New worlds.
It looks high quality.
It does.
New times.
Apparently they're using...
She's got a... So if I ask... What is it, the Doctor in coats? Really, really
nicely. It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Would you be my new best friends?
This does not look like Doctor Who.
Yeah, so apparently they switched to using film lenses. Like, it looks really nice.
Yes.
This
is gonna be fun.
I like it. So, obviously, we don't know anything from that. Like, we don't know plots and stuff.
No, no, of course not. But it looks real intense.
Yeah. And I really like Chris Chibnall's, like, way of directing and giving actors space and time to actually...
Oh, okay. Whatever anybody says, I love Peter Capaldi.
Oh, he was great.